is where we'll be tonight. Acts 17, I'd like to read verses 1 through 4 tonight. Bible says, "Now when they had passed through Amphipolis and Apollonia, they came to Thessalonica, where was a synagogue of the Jews. And Paul, as his manner was, went in unto them, and 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures." Now 3 Sabbath days, that wasn't 3 days in a row, that was 3 Saturdays. Sabbath was on Saturdays, so one Saturday, and then the next Saturday, and then the following Saturday. The Bible says, "In 3 Sabbath days reasoned with them out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging that Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead, and that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. And some of them believed, and consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks, a great multitude, and of the chief women, not a few." By the way, when it says "not a few," what does that mean? It means a whole lot. It means many. Not a few, but a whole lot. And so tonight I want to bring you a message entitled, "Same old, same old." How many of you know that phrase? How many of you know what it means? Let me give you a definition or an explanation. You know what it means. Same old, same old is used. That phrase is used to say that a situation or someone's behavior remains the same. Now, this definition continues and it says, especially, and I don't agree with this, but it says, especially when it is boring or annoying. The phrase is used to say that a situation or someone's behavior remains the same, especially when it is boring or annoying. I don't agree with that because that's not true. Same old is not bad. And we find that in our passage tonight in verse number 2. The word that we find is the word "manner." The Bible says in verse number 2, "And Paul, as his manner was." Now that word "manner," it means the way in which a thing is done. It means a characteristic or customary mode of acting. Same old, same old. And by the way, this world is always looking for something new. That's not a good thing. This world is always looking for something new. By the way, look at this. And Paul shows us that right here in this same chapter. Look at verse number 15. Acts chapter number 17 and verse 15. "And they that conducted Paul brought him unto Athens. And receiving a commandment unto Silas and Timotheus for to come to him with all speed, they departed. Now while Paul waited for them at Athens, his spirit was stirred in him when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. Therefore disputed he in the synagogue with the Jews and with the devout persons, and in the market daily with them that met with him. Then certain philosophers of the Epicureans and of the Stoics encountered him. And some said, what would this babbler say? Others some, he seemeth to be a setter forth of strange gods, because he preached unto them Jesus and the resurrection. And they took him and brought him unto Areopagus, saying, may we know what this new doctrine whereof thou speakest is? For thou bringest certain strange things to our ears. We would know therefore what these things mean. For all the Athenians and strangers which were there spent their time in nothing else but either to tell or to hear some new thing." And so the Apostle Paul shows us, and by the way, Ecclesiastes chapter 1 in verse number 9, the Bible says, "The thing that hath been, it is that which shall be, and that which is done is that which shall be done." And then it concludes with this phrase, "And there is no new thing under the sun." And this world is always looking for something new. And by the way, this world desires to deceive us into becoming, and I say us, I'm speaking of Christians, it tries to deceive us into becoming so unsatisfied with God and His Word that we begin thinking in the same manner. We begin thinking we need something new. By the way, let me say this tonight, just as a side note. That kind of worldly thinking, where we always look for some new thing, is what many times turns a fundamentalist into a new evangelical. That may not mean a whole lot to some of you tonight, but that's a bad thing. When a fundamentalist turns into a new evangelical. And by the way, most of the time they do it because they're looking for something new. By the way, a new evangelical is just the same as the old one, just worse. Just worse. And so God help us tonight that we don't get tired with the same old, same old. Now I hope I didn't offend. Maybe I need to park right there for a minute. Y'all look like I offended some of y'all by saying that. I hope you're not a new evangelical tonight. I hope you're not a modernist tonight. And I hope you're not liberal in your theology tonight. Because that's what most new evangelicals are. They're liberal in their theology. By the way, the message that we preached this morning, most new evangelicals would have hated that message. That you're going to preach about hell. Don't preach about hell. You're going to run people off when you preach about hell. Some new thing. We don't need to be looking for some new thing. The Apostle Paul was not looking for some new thing. By the way, I may be a bit weird in my... Just waiting for my wife to say amen. I may be a bit weird, but I don't think so. I think probably most of y'all are exactly like I am tonight. I can do the exact same thing every week, routine after routine, after schedule, and be absolutely okay with it. Same old, same old. I talk to my mom sometimes and she'll say, hey, what's going on? Anything new? No, just same old, same old. Just working, just staying at it, just doing what we're supposed to be doing. Same old, same old. My wife, God bless her heart, she tries to plan meals and to plan wonderful meals every week, and she tries to do new things every week. And she is a tremendous, tremendous cook. But you know what I tell her? It's just me and the two boys now. Paige is gone. We could eat the same thing every week, fix the same thing Monday, fix the same thing Tuesday. Every week, just set your plan, do the same thing on Monday, the same thing on Tuesday. We would be okay. Why? Because we're just creatures of habit. Same old, same old. And I want to show us tonight in our text, and we'll look at a few other texts tonight. I want us to see three areas tonight in which Paul's manner was constantly the same. Same old, same old. Constantly the same. The Apostle Paul wasn't looking for something new. The Apostle Paul wasn't like the Athenians in verse number 21, where all they did was sat around and talked, and all they did was sit around and tried to hear some new thing. Paul was about being busy. Paul was about routine. Paul was about the same old, same old, same old, same old. And by the way, we ought to be the same too. And I want to show us tonight three areas in which the Apostle Paul was like that. And so let's look here in Acts chapter number 17. Let me give you the first tonight. The first, Paul's purpose was always the same. Paul's purpose was always the same. And what was that purpose? His purpose was to serve. Paul's purpose was always the same. And his purpose was to serve others. It was to serve Christ first. But in serving Christ, he was serving others. And by the way, if you look at many of his epistles, and I'll read these. You don't have to turn there tonight. But in many of his epistles, Romans chapter 1 and verse number 1, he begins the epistle with that description of himself. Romans 1 verse 1, the Bible says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God. In Philippians chapter number 1, verse number 1, Paul and Timotheus, the servants of Jesus Christ, to all the saints in Christ Jesus, which are at Philippi, with the bishops and deacons. And we can look at epistle after epistle. We can look at verse after verse where the Apostle Paul calls himself a servant. By the way, he calls himself a bond slave. He says, I'm a bond slave for Jesus Christ. I am a servant for Jesus Christ. Paul's purpose was always the same, and that purpose was to serve. Look here, if you would, at Acts chapter number 9. We're in the book of Acts. Would you turn back just a few pages to Acts chapter number 9? His purpose was always the same. It was to serve. It was to serve the Lord Jesus Christ and to serve others. When Paul went into a city, where was one of the first places he always went to? Synagogue. That was one of the first places he always went to. He went to the synagogue. He found the people gathered there on the Sabbath day, on Saturday, and he would preach to them. He would witness to them. And then on Sunday, he would get together with the church, and they would preach, and they would fellowship, and they would worship together. On the Sabbath day, on Saturday, he would go to the synagogue. He would preach. Why? Because his purpose was to serve. I don't know about Brother Steve. I don't want to put words in his mouth tonight. But I think Brother Steve gets excited when choir members are always the same. And what I mean by that is when they're always in their place. And when they're there at 4:45 for practice, not 1 week and then they're gone the next week and then they're back the next week and then they're gone for 2 weeks. No. Every week, 4:45, in their place, in their seat, ready for practice because it's important. Let me just stop right here for a moment. Who do we think, as servants in the local church, as servants and ministers at Maranatha Baptist Church with places of service that all of us have, who do we think is going to fill that spot if we're not there? I don't understand sometimes why we get this idea, and I've said it many, many times, and it must be repeated, it needs to be repeated. Who do we think is going to fill that spot? Well, nobody's going to miss me if I'm not there. Absolutely they're going to miss you. If you're a Sunday school teacher, now look, I'm not talking about being sick. I'm not talking about being away on vacation. By the way, same old, same old, same old, same old is, hey, every now and then I need a vacation. Every now and then I need to get away. Every now and then I need to come apart. Jesus Christ said that. Jesus Christ took His disciples apart for some time of refreshing. I'm not talking about that tonight. But I'm talking about, well, I'm just not going to go this Sunday and I've got more important things, or I just don't feel like going this Sunday. Well, who's going to fill that spot? Seriously. Not if you're sick, not if you're out of town, but hey, I just don't think I feel like going this Sunday. Hey, you know what? There are some times we just need to say in our heart, you know what? I may not feel like going, but I'm not sick and I'm not contagious. I need to be in my spot. I need to be where I'm supposed to be. I may not feel like it today. I may not feel like getting out of bed this morning. I would really love to stay in bed this morning. But hey, I've got to... What would happen if we treated our regular jobs that way? Maybe we'd be fired in a second, wouldn't we? We'd be fired in a moment. Well, I just don't feel like going to work today. My boss will understand. He might understand one day. He might even understand the second day. But after the third or fourth or fifth day, he's not as understanding as the first day, is he? But boy, we get this idea when it comes to church. Well, church isn't that important. Church isn't as important as my job. My job, by the way, pays my money, or gives me money. It pays my bills. And, you know, church, I do that voluntarily. And by the way, I agree with that. And I'm thankful that there are many, many, many hands that go into the work and the ministry in this place. And many of them are voluntary. But who's going to fill your spot? Who's going to fill that spot when you're not here? Well, they're not going to miss me in the choir. Look, you might be the only bass that's there that Sunday. They need you. You might be the only soprano, the only alto. You might be the only tenor there that we... They need you. Where do we get this idea? That we take and leave church and if I want to go this Sunday, maybe I will, but if I have something better to do, I'll do it. No. A purpose. Paul was always the same in his purpose. And that was to serve, not to be served. Isn't that what Jesus Christ said? He said, I didn't come to be ministered to, I came to minister. I came to serve. I came to give my life a ransom. I came to seek and to save that which was lost. I didn't come for people to serve me, I came to serve people. And that was Paul's purpose. His purpose was always the same, and it was to serve. I had you turn to Acts chapter number 9, look at verse number 20. Acts chapter number 9 and verse number 20. And straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Now, I show you this verse, and I'm going to show you a couple of others, and we could look at many, many more in the book of Acts. But simply, Paul's purpose was to go to the synagogue. It was to go to where the people were and to preach and to serve and to give them and to reason with them and to persuade with them that they needed Jesus Christ. Look at Acts chapter number 13. Look at chapter number 13, verse number 5. Acts chapter 13 and verse number 5, and the Bible says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews, and they had also John to their minister." Now, what has just happened in Acts 13? They have just laid hands on Paul and Barnabas to be missionaries, to be sent out to go and to preach. And the Bible says, "And when they were at Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews." Also here in chapter number 13, look at verse 14. "But when they departed from Perga, they came to Antioch in Pisidia and went into the synagogue on the Sabbath day and sat down. And after the reading of the law and the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue sent unto them, saying, 'Ye men and brethren, if you have any word of exhortation for the people, say on.'" Woo! Boy, what an open door for the Apostle Paul. I've got something to say. Verse 16, "Then Paul stood up and beckoning with his hand said, 'Men of Israel, and ye that fear God, give audience.'" And I'm not going to read the rest because he begins to give a sermon. But here's the point tonight. Here's the truth. Paul was always the same in his purpose. And what was his purpose? It was to serve. It was to serve Jesus Christ first and foremost. But in doing that, he served others. Listen, dear friend, if we'll just get in our heart tonight the truth and the idea that, hey, my purpose is to serve Jesus Christ, if we'll get that purpose in our heart, we'll serve others. We'll serve people. The Apostle Paul, by the way, let's look at this verse real quickly. Look at Acts chapter number 16. Acts chapter number 16. The Apostle Paul went where the people were. Most of the time that was in the synagogue. But in Acts chapter number 16, we have some of the first converts in Philippi. The first believers in the Philippian church. Acts 16 and verse number 12, "And from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia, and a colony. And we were in that city abiding certain days, and on the Sabbath we went." On what day? On the Sabbath. "And on the Sabbath we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made, and we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither." And we know when they did that, in verse number 14, Lydia got saved. Paul was always the same in his purpose, and that was to serve. Now, I understand during our days, we have different things that we do every single day. Tomorrow, every single one of y'all have a schedule. You have it in your mind, or maybe you have it written down. How many of you do use a day planner? Any of you still use a day planner? I think that's a good thing. Any of you still use a day planner? Yeah. And you've got your day scheduled out. You've got it planned out. And so during that day, you have different activities. But here's the truth. It doesn't matter whether I'm studying for message. It doesn't matter whether I'm doing something with my family as an activity of leisure just for us to get away. It doesn't matter what I'm doing. I should always be the same in my purpose. And that's to serve. That's what the Apostle Paul was. We're talking about same old, same old. Being the same manner. Acts chapter number 17, verse number 2. The Bible says, "And Paul, as his manner was." That's how he acted. That was a characteristic or customary mode of action for the Apostle Paul. So number one tonight, Paul's purpose was always the same, and that purpose was to serve. Let me give you number two tonight. Paul's preaching was always the same because he preached with the Scriptures. You see, his purpose was always the same. His purpose was to serve. His preaching was always the same because, very simply, he just preached with the Scriptures. He just preached, "Thus saith the Lord." Not his opinion, but "Thus saith the Lord." Look again here at Acts chapter 17, the last part of verse number 2. The Bible says, "In three Sabbath days reasoned with them out of" what? "Out of the Scriptures, opening and alleging." And he expounds on the Scriptures there. What was he preaching to them? That Christ must needs have suffered and risen again from the dead. He's giving them the gospel that this Jesus, whom I preach unto you, is Christ. By the way, the Bible says some of them believed. Not all of them believed. But the Bible says some of them believed and consorted with Paul and Silas. They joined up. They came all three Saturdays to hear Paul preach. The Bible says they consorted with Paul and Silas, and of the devout Greeks a great multitude, and of the chief women not a few. Paul's preaching was always the same. Why? Because he preached the Scriptures. Listen, Paul wasn't concerned about the latest movie. He wasn't concerned about the latest box scores. By the way, he wasn't concerned whether the millennials thought he was relevant or not. Listen, I it's just one of my pet peeves, and you can think I'm silly or not, but I just get... It just gets all over me when I see a church sign and it speaks about being relevant. Listen, if you're preaching the Word of God, you're relevant. You don't have to tell somebody you're relevant. No, if you're preaching God's Word is relevant to every generation. God's Word is what is needed in every generation. You're relevant to every generation if you're preaching God's Word. Paul wasn't worried about whether the millennials thought he was relevant. Paul wasn't concerned with the newest trends or methods in church growth. Paul was simply concerned about transferring the Scriptures. That's what he was concerned about giving the Word of God, giving the Word of God, preaching the Word of God, teaching the Word of God. Look, that's why we tell our teachers, whether it's Master Club, Sunday School, listen, when you're in that class, preach, or not preach, but teach the Word. By the way, when you're in that class, you might be using flashcards, you might be using flannel graph, you might be teaching a missionary story, but listen, you should always have that Bible opened. Because those kids need to know that that story is coming from the Word of God. You need to take that Bible and open it up, and even if it's just a couple of text verses, and read so that those kids know, hey, this just isn't some figment of my teacher's imagination. This isn't just some fairy tale. This comes from God's Word. Teach the Word. That's what we need. That's what every child needs. That's what every Sunday school needs. That's what every Master Club kid needs. That's what every family needs. That's what every mom and dad needs. That's what every husband and wife needs. That's what all of us need. So I say again tonight, Paul's preaching was always the same. Why? Because he preached with the Scriptures. Take your Bibles, if you would, and go to 2 Corinthians. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We'll begin in verse number 1. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 1. Paul's purpose was always the same. His purpose was to serve. Paul's preaching was always the same because he preached with the Scriptures. He reasoned. He disputed, he opened, he alleged. He did all of that, not with his own opinion, not with some other author's book, but he did it with the Scriptures. He did it with the Scriptures. I mentioned this last week, or maybe it was a couple weeks ago. I'm for reading. I hope you're reading. I hope you read more than you watch television. I hope so. But listen, if you're reading, make sure what you're reading the most is the Scriptures. Because it's the Scriptures that are going to help us. It's the Scriptures that are going to teach us. The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth light. It giveth understanding to the simple. You say, well, Pastor, I'm already saved. Doesn't matter. The more I study the Word of God and just read it, it gives me light. It gives me understanding. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 1. The Bible says, "For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. If so, that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we that are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened, not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Now he that wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit. Therefore we are always confident." Here's that great verse. "Therefore we are always confident, knowing that whilst we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Verse 8. "Wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of Him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that every one may receive the things done in his body, according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad." Now notice verse 11. We read all that to get to verse 11. "Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. What does he say there? We do what? We persuade men. We persuade men. And how did the Apostle Paul seek to persuade men? With his cunning words? No, because he tells us, look, I'm not an eloquent man. In 1 Corinthians 1, he speaks about the fact that, look, I didn't come with you with eloquent words. I didn't come with you with some great speech. I came to you with the Word of God, which to this world's wisdom is foolish. To the man that perishes, the Word of God, the gospel of Jesus Christ, is foolishness. But he said the wisdom of God. He said, that's all I can preach. And the Bible says in verse number 11, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, but we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on your behalf, that we may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be beside ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. That goes back to number one, his purpose. His purpose was to serve. His purpose was always the same, to serve. His preaching was always the same. Why? How? Because he preached the Scriptures. Hey, you left Acts, but would you go back there real quickly? Acts chapter number 26. Would you go there? And we'll move on to number 3. We'll be done in just a moment. Acts chapter number 26. Paul's purpose was always the same. It was to serve. We're talking about same old tonight. That's the way we ought to be as Christians. Same old, same old. Same purpose, same preaching, same message, because we're just giving the Word of God. We're just giving the Scriptures. Acts chapter number 26, verse 22. He says, having therefore obtained help of God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both to small and great, saying none other things than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer. Look, what's Paul say? Paul says, I'm not giving you anything else than Moses and the prophets already told you. They told you Christ was going to come. They told you He was going to suffer. By the way, in the prophets, where do we find that? Which was probably one of the greatest chapters in the Old Testament. Really, there's probably several, but I'm thinking of one, of the suffering of Jesus Christ. Isaiah 53. He said, look, all I'm doing, Paul says, all I'm doing is giving you what Moses and the prophets already gave you. I'm telling you about Jesus Christ, verse 23, that Christ should suffer and that He should be the first that should rise from the dead and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And as He thus spake for Himself, Festus said with a loud voice, notice what Festus said, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. You know what he said? He said, Paul, you're crazy. Much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. For the king knoweth of these things, before whom I also speak freely. For I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know that thou believest. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God that not only thou, but also all that hear me this day were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. He said, I wish you were just like me, except I don't want you to have these bonds. I don't want you to be in chains and shackles. But he said, I wish you were just, not almost. He said, I wish you were altogether. What did Paul preach? He preached the Scriptures. He preached Moses and the prophets. He preached the Scriptures. He didn't add to it. He didn't take away. He preached the Scriptures. Same old, same old. Paul's purpose was always the same. His purpose was to serve. Paul's preaching was always the same. He just simply preached with the Scriptures. Then let me give you number 3 tonight. Paul's passion was always the same. What was his passion? Would you go back to Acts 17? We read in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 11. He said, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. What was his passion? His passion was twofold. His passion was the Savior, but His passion was sinners. His passion was the Savior, but His passion was sinners. He says, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. We spoke about that this morning. The rich man in hell, knowing the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. We persuade them not to come here. We persuade them not to go there. We persuade them that there is a real heaven and that there is a real hell. We persuade them that Jesus Christ came and He died and He bled and He rose again and He did all of that. He did the gospel so that we could have salvation and forgiveness of sin because we're sinners. What did the Apostle Paul say in the book of Romans about his own people? I believe one of the missionaries preached this. I believe maybe Brother Stark or Brother Norwood preached from Romans 9 and 10 when they were here. Romans 9, he says, I say the truth in Christ, verse 1, I lie not, my conscience also bearing me witness in the Holy Ghost that I have great heaviness and continual sorrow in my heart, for I could wish that myself were accursed from Christ for my brethren. My kinsmen according to the flesh. Who's he speaking about there? Excuse me, there. He's speaking about the Jews. He's speaking about Israel. And in chapter 10, verse 1, he says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. Number three, Paul's passion was always the same. What was his passion? First and foremost, it was the Savior. But because he had a passion for the Savior, he had a passion for sinners. His purpose was always the same. What was the purpose? It was to serve. His preaching was always the same. What did he preach? He preached the Scriptures. And his passion was always the same. What was his passion? His passion was for the Savior. And it was for sinners. I had you turn back to Acts 17. Would you look at verse 22? I'm going to read this rest of this chapter. We'll be done tonight. We read verses 15 through 21. He's there in Athens and he's stirred because he sees the idolatry. And then in verse 22, then Paul stood in the midst of Mars Hill and said, ye men of Athens, I perceive that in all things ye are too superstitious. For as I passed by and beheld your devotions, I found an altar with this inscription. You remember what he said? He said the city was given wholly to idolatry. They had a god for everything. And just in case they missed one, they had another one. And he said, I found an altar with this inscription to the unknown god. We want to make sure we get them all. We don't want to miss one. He said, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship? Notice what he says. Him declare I unto you. God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that He is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though He needed anything, seeing He giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after Him and find Him, though He be not far from every one of us. For in Him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also His offspring. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is likened to gold or silver or stone given by art and man's device. And the times of this ignorance God winked at, but now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. Because He hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness by that man whom He hath ordained, whereof He hath given assurance unto all men in that He hath raised Him from the dead. And when they had heard of the resurrection of the dead, some mocked. And others said, we will hear thee again of this matter. So Paul departed from among them. Howbeit certain men clave unto him and believed, among the which was Dionysius, the Areopagite, and a woman named Damaris, and others with them. Paul's passion was always the same. He came to this city, didn't know the people there. He came to Athens. And what did he say when he came to Athens? He was stirred in his spirit, the Bible says, because he found the city wholly given to idolatry. And you know what that did? That stirred the passion in him. Because his passion was the Savior. And his passion was sinners. And what did it stir him to do? It stirred him to preach. It stirred him to reason. It stirred him to try to persuade. It stirred him to stand up and to refute their idolatry. And to say, hey, you may not know who this unknown God is, but I know who He is. Let me tell you about it. Let me tell you about this God that you don't know about. This is the God of heaven. This is the God that sent His Son. Now, we don't see that expressed specifically in the passage, but this is the one that sent His Son, and He died, and He rose again, as He mentions in the latter part of the chapter, and He did all of that. Did all of that for us. Same old, same old. Is that us tonight? Do we have the same purpose day in, day out, week in, week out? Purpose to serve? Are we the same in our preaching? And I know not all of us are preachers tonight. I understand that. But do we have the same message? Because our message is the Scriptures. We don't get our message from some blog on Facebook. We don't get our message from some blog on social media or the internet. No, we go to the Word of God and get our message. Is it constantly the same, or is it changing? Is it changing with who we listen to or what we read? See, we ought to know enough of the Scripture. If we read erroneous things on the internet, we ought to catch it immediately. Because we know the Word of God. Paul was the same in his preaching because he just preached the Scriptures. He said, Moses and the prophets, that's what I'm giving you. I'm not giving you anything new. I'm giving you what they already preached to you, what they already told you. You're just not believing it. And then his passion was always the same. His passion was for the Savior. His passion was for sinners. Knowing the terror of the Lord, he says, what do? We persuade men. That was his passion. Is your passion always the same, or does it change from day to day? Now listen, I'm not talking... Look, when I get up in the morning, Monday morning, I'm going to be tired. When I go to bed tonight, I'm tired. But you know what? Even though I may be a little tired tomorrow and my physical body may not be extremely energetic tomorrow, at least early in the morning, my passion is still the same. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. He's given me a purpose, and that's to serve. And why has He given me that purpose? So that sinners can be saved. And by the way, also so that saints can be strengthened and they can grow and they can move from milk to meat, because that's our passion. What's your passion tonight? Nah, look, we're not in the midst. We're kind of on the tail end now, but boy, March Madness. College basketball. And listen, I like college basketball. Yeah. Who said I do too? Did somebody say that? Miss Rosie said that? Amen. Miss Patsy, did you say that? You been watching the games? Who's your favorite team? Who's your favorite team? Hey, Roma, you need to cut that off because we need to have some family time right here. No, just kidding. You know what their mascot is, don't you? They're the Devils. Hey, we get excited about March Madness, don't we? I say we. I'm talking about people who like basketball. Some of you don't care, and that's, by the way, that's good. That's probably really good. We were watching, Jonathan and Joshua and I were watching Duke in Arkansas last night, and we were like, Jonathan looked at me, he said, yeah, Jeffrey just probably broke something. we get into that, don't we? But do you know what? We just read it. What did Festus say that Paul was mad about? Not March Madness. But the Scriptures. The Scriptures. The Scriptures. What's your passion tonight? There's nothing wrong with enjoying a game and having a time to do that, but what is our passion tonight? It ought to be the Savior. And as a result of that, it's going to be sinners. I was listening to a preacher this week, and he made the statement, and I'm done. Let me give you this, I'm done. He made a statement. He said, I told our folks just recently, actually, you know what, I'm not even going to tell that story because some of you might take it wrong, and I don't want you to do that. I don't want you to do that. But what's your passion tonight? Same old, is that you? Or as Ephesians 4 says, are we blown about with every wind of doctrine? Or are we just same old, same old? Hey, you're here on a Sunday night. You know what? You're in your place. You're in your place. Let's be in our place. Let's just be same old, same old. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Let's get to the point where people are shocked when you're not here. Instead of being shocked when we are here. No, let's get to the point where people are shocked when you're not here. Same old, same old. Paul was always the same in his purpose. It was to serve. He was always the same in his preaching because he just preached the Scriptures. He was always the same in his passion because his passion was the Savior and his passion was sinners. Same old, same old. I pray that that's us tonight. Amen. Father, we love you. Thank you for that passage. Thank you that Paul, as his manner was, he was predictable. And Father, in our Christian lives, in the right way, may we be predictable tonight. We're just always the same in our manner, in what we do and how we live and in our purpose and our passion. Lord, may we just always be the same. We don't need anything new. We don't need a new idea. Lord, you've given us your word. Father, may we be like Paul, as his manner was. Help us tonight, Lord. We pray this in Christ's name. Amen. Let's stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed and eyes closed if we could. Miss Jo's at the piano. I don't know how the Lord may have worked in your heart tonight, but maybe there's an area where maybe sometimes you're rock solid and then other times, boy, you're just up and down. Hey, how about this? Let me mention this tonight as we think about same old, same old. You know what? We ought to be same old in our spirit. Circumstances ought not have us up and down all the time. I get it. There's going to be days when we feel a little melancholy. There may be days when we shed tears that the next day we're not going to do that. But even in those times, our spirits ought not be up and down. We ought to be level. We ought just be level. Because we're leveled with the Scriptures. Our spirits just ought not be up and down all the time. We're in a bad mood one day, we're down in the dumps one day, and we're on top of the mountain the next day, and we're down in the valley the next day. No, dear friends, circumstances shouldn't determine that. Same old, same old. The Bible says we ought to have an excellent spirit. Mom and Dad, is that you? What do your kids see at home? Do they see a good spirit one day and then a grumpy spirit the next day? And look, I understand it. All of us have grumpy days and our kids know it. But does that happen a lot? Up one day, down the next? Kids have to tiptoe around us every other day. That ought not be. Same old, same old.